right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus. One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me what I thought he was, woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyway.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this
place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one cracking day, for Cylons to bring us down impossible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't...
Oh, fucking take all you want. I got a Spider-Man t-shirt. I got Converse.
Well, hello, gentlemen.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Got there first.
Okay.
Oh, well, I didn't realize it was a competition.
It was a race.
It was.
Scapegoat won.
Well, what does he get? What's his prize?
It's not what his prize is. It's the fact that he's juicing.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
All right.
I am not juicing. That is ridiculous.
Is that a
although
terrible
I do
thing?
Know someone who's really into smoothies.
Okay.
You know, like apparently this is a big thing again.
Smoothies?
Yeah, like making
smoothies never go away. They're always a big thing.
And they accidentally blend They accidentally blended.
Oh yes,
plastic into their smoothie. At which point they came in looking like they had chicken pox from sixth grade.
No. It's because he threw it up.
Wait, what happened?
No.
All right, here's what happened. He was blending himself a smoothie.
Okay.
Right? The cap from the... You know there's like a cap part like in the middle of a blender top?
Yes.
Right?
It fell in.
The plastic. It fell in.
Okay.
Some of it got ground up in there.
Oh.
I guess he didn't notice it somehow or something. And he drank a bunch of it before he realized what happened.
Oh, Jesus.
Right? So when he drank it, realized what happened, he decided he didn't want to have any of that in him, so he forced it up. He threw it up. That's why his face, there was a lot of blood vessels.
Yes,
broken
that
in
broke.
His, yeah, he looks like he had like a rash.
Oh, God.
I don't know. I've seen this on a few people, you know, who have thrown up. We scapegoat, and I have another friend who often looks like that when he comes back from Atlantic City.
Right.
And I don't think I've ever seen that reaction to throwing up.
That's
until
disgusting.
Recently. I don't know. Maybe that's me. My limited life,
but
not dealing with people who throw up.
I was going to say smoothies haven't really gone away because I mean,
no, they've never gone away.
I mean, as a matter of fact, I have in my house a Nutribullet.
Do you?
I do.
Wow.
That's interesting.
It's not as cool as the...
Ninja?
No, what's the fancy one that fucking MasterChef is sponsored by?
Is it the Vitamix?
Yeah, Vitamix.
Vitamix is the one I
Hell's
have.
Kitchen. Hell's Kitchen.
Do you know what I don't like about the...
Product placement?
I'm not...
About the show?
I'm not...
This
not
segment
okay
is sponsored
the,
by...
I don't like the Vitamix as much. I know
Are
that
you
it's more
kidding?
Fancy. For smoothie making, for general blending, I think it's fantastic.
But you don't think it's good for smoothie making?
I enjoy
Why
the
not?
I enjoy the nice little compact cups that the Nutribullet has.
I'm not saying
it's all in one.
It's more convenient.
It's one and done.
You're more convenient.
Right. Based. Because normally if I'm doing something like that,
right.
because I do it for breakfast in the morning, I actually sure. like it. It's sure. easy, but it's quick in the morning. I get up, boop, and I'm done.
Dude,
I take the whole thing with me to work.
Dude, do you know what's awesome about the Vitamix? You can make soup in it.
That's great. Hot, I can also make soup in a pot.
Hot soup, sir. No. You just put all the ingredients in and you put the shit on high in like 10 minutes. It's hot soup.
Okay.
Hot soup.
That's great.
Just saying.
Huzzah to the Vitamix.
And that is the title of this episode.
That's right.
Huzzah Vitamix. To the Vitamix.
It was going to be inside the polar vortex.
No.
But last minute change, no. Huzzah to the Vitamix.
It's definitely inside the polar vortex because we are deep
but
inside.
If you were to blend that in a Vitamix, it would turn into hot soup.
It would, in fact, turn into hot something.
We are huzzah. Deep inside the polar vortex here on the northeast. And this is, what is this, 320? What is this episode?
319.
19, there you go.
Oh, so close.
Yes.
You know what happens at 320, man? Nothing.
Well, nothing. A big case of Anyway, so yes, it's cold. That's the polar vortex.
Yes, and thank you for listening.
And thank you for listening. We do have a contest that is ending this week. We will announce the winner of that contest later
Woo-hoo!
In the show. We will also announce the new contest.
Wiener.
That we have starting this week. But let's start off with the big things that took place in the last week. What do you want to start with? Is it Star Wars? Star Wars. Is it Batman versus Superman? Is that the big one?
I'd say that's the big one, but we got to talk about Star Wars at some point because it's now getting out of hand.
Oh, well, let's do Star Wars then.
Well, but I think the Batman one is more, or Superman one is more exciting.
We're not ranking them.
Oh, I'm ranking
We're
them.
Just talking about it.
Okay.
This is something I predicted. All right, I'm sure you guys bicker. I'm sure if you go back episodes, you will find that I predicted this.
Okay.
Months and months ago.
And what is this?
The Superman Batman movie has been delayed.
Yes, that's
and not a little delayed.
A year.
A whole year.
Good.
Yeah, because I think what happened is they said to themselves, wait, we're going to push this out in a year, and every time we make an announcement about this film, everybody loses their shit, and not in a good way.
I was going to say, it got too big. They kept on adding characters and characters and story and
in
story.
Fact, Scapegoat, pull up that article, Scapegoat, that you were giving me information from. This is fascinating. This is a fascinating bit of news coming out of that closing. Is that everything is apparently being revamped and rethought and so
well, this
on.
This is from the art department of the movie, allegedly. A friend of someone in the art department.
Who was fired.
Most of it, the art department was fired,
right.
Most of them. This is from a friend in that art department. This is probably bullshit.
That's fine. But
I just want to put that out there for the listeners.
It
this
could
is probably
be,
bullshit.
It could be bullshit.
However, here are these spoilers, which I believe if they're delaying it a year, this is all the stuff they're changing. They're going to rework the plot.
Okay.
Here are the spoilers. The villains were Lex Luthor and Metallo.
Right.
Let's take them one at a time. No one is surprised by this.
Luthor makes sense. Metallo
also makes sense.
Yeah.
Go on.
Batman forms a UN-type thing to stop Superman from destroying another city.
So right there, you've lost me, because why is Batman messing with the UN?
And not only
he's
that.
Not, Batman is not a public... Batman doesn't call press conferences. Batman doesn't, you know, unite with the UN in order to keep Superman from destroying cities. That's just not his character.
Not only that, but that story.
If they
just
said Bruce
doesn't...
Wayne was doing that, I would buy it. The fact that Batman is doing it is an entirely different thing.
Maybe
that story doesn't make sense based on where the last movie left off. It's not like Superman has gone on a rampage. Superman went after Zod. Yes, a city got destroyed. But unless there's a lot of shit that's going to take place between the movies that they don't tell us about, or they tell us about,
I disagree with you on that. I think it totally makes sense. If Bruce
really?
Wayne, Bruce Wayne,
if Bruce Wayne did it, yes.
I know. I'm trying to make it better already. Right. but if Bruce Wayne is like, hey, an entire city got destroyed just because some superpowered,
douche.
Was trying to protect us, sure,
you meant
but
douche.
Took down an entire city, billions and billions of dollars of property damage, probably killed thousands of people. We should probably not let this happen. We need a government regulated something.
All right. Well.
Whatever.
Okay, right? Okay. So there's that. Go on.
Next one. Aquaman is in it, but not called Aquaman. He's there because the world engine in the ocean did something to the fish.
Yes.
Too fucking convoluted. Too,
yeah. Already you're in a Justice League movie. This is not a Superman movie.
Wonder Woman poses as a Wayne Enterprises investor to retrieve an item that belongs to her people.
Is she from Krypton?
Which is not a terrible story to bring her in, say, a Justice League movie.
Right.
But this is Superman.
This is a Justice League movie. Let me keep reading. Lex Luthor is in the shadows a lot, a manipulator, not much face time with Superman.
But which is the way he always should have been played.
Right.
We just got the Gene Hackman / Kevin Spacey Lex Luthor in films, so that's what we were used to. But he's always been much more behind the scenes.
Robin betrayed Batman at some point, leading to a falling out between them. Who cares?
So Robin in the movie.
That's actually, with the exception of the word betrayal, that's what happened with him and Dick Grayson.
Except that Robin is in the movie. Let's not gloss over the fact that they've now added Robin to the cast.
It could be mentioned. It could be something like Superman goes, "Yeah, where's that little kid you used to hang around with?" And you know, like it could be, it doesn't say that he's in the movie. It just says that they had a falling out.
Okay.
The Batcave was super cool looking, and the Batmobile looked similar to Burton's. Okay.
Well, all right. So that's bad in my opinion. That the Batmobile, it shouldn't look like a tumbler. Granted, but I don't think it should go all the way back to the 1990s Tim Burton vehicle. It should look nothing like that.
Tim Burton vehicle was okay looking.
No, it was terrible.
No, come on.
I like the Tumbler.
I like the Tumbler. No, well, the Tumbler was a much more realistic approach to the Batmobile.
Whereas,
but the Burton one was kind of classic Batmobile-y.
Yeah, it
was. That's the problem with it.
It just doesn't fit.
That's what I mean. Well, it just doesn't fit anymore.
Lois is investigating Lex. That makes sense.
Total sense.
And I think that should continue. Right. That's the only way that her being in the movie makes sense at all.
Yeah, sure. I'll agree with that.
Metallo, quote-unquote, kills Clark.
Here we go.
The Daily Planet
Metallo kills Clark. Really? So Clark Kent is dead. Go on.
How does that work?
Oh, wait.
The Daily Planet is bought by Lex Luthor for PR purposes.
That's fine.
At the end, that
may have been a storyline at one point.
Yeah, that's fine.
He became president at one point.
Yeah.
So
at the end... At the end, Superman is living in exile, and the Justice League is a government-approved superhero team.
So they kill Clark Kent. So how much more do they have to fuck with the Superman, if any of this is true?
Yeah.
How much more do they have to fuck with the Superman character, you know, in order to separate it and make it different? I don't agree that makes it interesting. I think that makes it not Superman. You kill Clark Kent. Lois knows who he is. He's out. Like, I mean... It's ridiculous, and it's
really at the end of the day, it's also just far too much crammed into one movie.
It's the extreme
shortcut to the Avengers. It's the extreme shortcut. It's how do we cram two phases of Marvel movies into one?
It's like if they had made Avengers first and then sprang it out,
right? Which is something we've been saying pretty much all along,
right?
All right, let's stick with this a little bit, sort of. In an interview that Stephen Amell did with Amell, however I'm pronouncing that.
Arrow,
recently did. He said that he actually was in discussions with Warner Brothers at one point in time about his character porting over to the film. But he says that it's more important to focus on the show. So a couple of things here. Absolutely, yes. Focus on the show. Don't get mixed up with that hogwash until it's ready.
Uh-huh.
And B, of course it's on the back burner because clearly the movie's on the back burner.
And C, if Warner Brothers fucking tells you you're going to be in the Justice League movie, you're going to be in the goddamn Justice League movie, Steve.
He's not saying he doesn't want to do it. I think he's saying, I want to make sure that the show that I'm on is still a really good product.
Right.
And I commend him for that. Insofar as I don't think that the movie is going to be a good product.
Right.
And the show has been good so far, so let's not...
Sure. Makes sense.
Mix the two up too much. Let's stick with DC real quick.
Okay.
Let's go with the Son of Batman animated film.
Phillip. Okay.
Fantastic trailer.
The trailer was online.
Yeah.
Was it today, I guess, or yesterday? I liked it.
It was amazing.
Yeah. I liked it.
Are we gonna post the link to that?
Well, I'll post the link to the trailer.
Yeah, you should.
What story is it actually following, though? It's
the Son of Batman.
Son of Batman.
It was that the name of the trade or the series?
Was
it a graphic novel by itself, or did it span several issues of a book?
I think it was several issues of Batman. This would be before the renumbering.
Right. And this was
quite a bit before.
It was a Grant Morrison and Andy Kubert story. Correct. I know.
Yeah.
Trailer looks great.
Yeah.
I got a problem with it. I mean, DC continues to put out
they're great.
Good quality animated films.
I still miss Conroy.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's always going to be the way. It's like hearing the Joker and it's not Mark Hamill.
Oh my God, whoever played that fucking terrible. Dude, yeah, we talked about that, right? Yeah. Really bad acting.
Who's going to redub that? Who's going to pay to have Mark Hamill redub that so it actually Dark Knight Returns? Decent?
Jason O'Mara will be voicing Batman, Bruce Wayne in this.
Yep.
Stuart Allen as Damian. Miranda Bakarin as Talia al Ghul.
Mm-hmm.
Giancarlo
Esposito
as Ra's al Ghul.
They
say Ra's in the trailer. I've always said Ra's.
Yeah.
A lot of people say Ra's. It's Ra's.
David McCullum as Alfred. Xander Berkeley as Kirk Langstrom, aka the Man Bat, and Thomas Gibson as Deathstroke. So it's got a good.
Yeah, it's a nice cast.
It's got a nice voice.
It looks really nice. It looks like they stuck pretty close to the story.
It's a little bit more stylized, though. Than the last few DC things,
it looks
right?
more anime-y.
It does look more anime.
It could be produced by Madhouse.
Let's not go too far, because the next thing we're going to talk about is the Black Widow Punisher anime.
That was my segue, sir.
Oh, that was?
Anime-y into the Black Widow Punisher anime.
Oh, God, you're ruining terrible. All the production value right
sorry.
There.
Awful. Terrible.
Not you.
Awful. It looks
I just wanted to,
terrible.
Just really quickly, before looking terrible, Justice League War... is out next week, I want to say?
February 4th.
Okay, so I'll have a review next week because I have a lovely screening copy of that.
Fantastic.
But
I want a screening copy.
I guess that's probably why the trailer's out, isn't it? War came out, quote
it's
unquote.
Probably
so that's
on the
why
DVD.
I was going to say, because they're like, because War has been like, oh, it's cool, it's coming. It's taken forever. And now a new trailer came out for something when the first one was announced.
And I'm sure the trailer is probably on the DVD.
That's what I'm saying. That's probably why it's out now, yeah. All right. Well, anyway, so anime, it does look a little stylized. I hear there's another stylized animated movie that also got...
Oh, wow. We're ham-handedly segueing into Black Widow Punisher Marvel film Avengers Confidential Black Widow and Punisher.
Right.
It looks terrible. I'm not even hating. I want them to be great.
I don't even hate on the style. I'm okay. I could get past the anime style if it looks like the content of the story is good.
Yeah.
But this just looks like a bunch of...
Yeah.
Malarkey.
Malarkey. Crap. Hogwash.
Crap.
Poppycock.
Poppycock, dare we say. So I don't really want to say anything else about that. It is coming out on March 25th, so you've got some time to on it for another month and a half.
Woohoo, hate.
Or 2 months.
Yeah, hate.
But, yeah. Bleh. But you know this just follows the trend. DC, bad movies, good animated projects. Marvel, good movies, bad animated projects.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And S.H.I.E.L.D.
Keeping up with the trends.
And S.H.I.E.L.D.
Before we get into J.J. Abrams and Star Wars, there's one other thing I wanted to mention.
I got a J.J. Abrams thing too.
There's a lot of Star Wars
in the nobody cares. Portion of tonight's news.
Okay.
The screenplay for the newly coming Fantastic Four film is apparently done. They are doing some more casting over the next week or two, so we'll know our new cast probably in the next.
Woo-hoo! Oh, that's awesome!
Yes, that is cares. So yes. terrible. No
nobody
one cares.
What are you? How could you not care?
Cares.
Fantastic Four is
Would you like four good reasons?
Actually, I would be really excited for a Fantastic Four film
if it was in the Marvel
in the Marvel universe, sure. In the Disney Marvel universe, under the Fox banner.
No way.
I could care less.
Yeah,
I can care less. So there you go.
That's a shame.
Star Wars.
J.J. Abrams, though, before Star Wars.
Yes.
I believe he has a pilot show coming out.
Oh, yes. I remember reading about this.
It's him and Alfonso Cuarón, who did Gravity.
And do we care about
Children
this?
Of Men.
Could win the Oscar.
I'd like to. Gravity could. Yeah, it shouldn't.
No, Cuarón. I don't think it's gonna win for. I don't.
No, best picture. I don't think
Gravity's
so.
Gravity's gonna win for best.
It shouldn't. It really. It shouldn't. But Believe comes out, and it pretty much looks like Heroes with one girl.
Okay.
Hero. Heroine.
Heroine. I don't know. Honestly, it looks like I think there was a show maybe a year back, Touch, with Kiefer Sutherland in it.
Yes, I remember that.
That's like still on. A gifted person. No, it got canceled.
Yeah. Did it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there's like a gifted person.
And rightfully so, I believe.
And, like, there's a gifted person in the world and blah, blah, blah.
Wasn't it his son on the show?
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, it was like actually his son acting?
No. But it was his character. It was Kiefer Sutherland's character's son.
It looks similar to that, like one of those she controls the world and has these magical powers bullshit. It could be good. I have no idea.
Yeah, no, it could.
But anyway, a trailer. No, it won't be. A trailer came out
for it.
Yeah, for it. It looks exciting. Who knows? It looks a little crappy. I want to say this. I want to. I'm going to continue with my 30 seconds of TV. Intelligence is a fucking terrible show.
Okay.
Really, truly bad.
Glad I haven't watched it then.
So bad. Don't.
You
pick
liked it
up.
Better when it was called Chuck.
No. Just barely. Don't go there.
Yeah.
Hannibal's coming back.
Yes, I know and that I'm you're saying, both very excited
I am,
about
I'm
this.
Saying this again because The Following came back.
Right.
And that is an awful fucking show.
What was wrong with The Following?
We'll go there in a second.
Should be the cancellation.
The reason why, Following into the grave.
That's right.
The Hannibal came out with has a trailer that came out. A new trailer, a 2-minute trailer. It is spoilery. So if you have not seen season one, please don't watch it.
Okay.
Please go watch season one.
It's
really worth it. Really atmospheric, well shot, well written, well acted show. If you have, and you're like, oh my God, I want the new season to come out February 28th, by the way. Watch this trailer. Still spoilery, but it's very exciting. Very
spoilery.
Very awesome.
Okay. Since you said spoilery, I am going to hijack the flow of the show for 1 second.
All right.
I want to talk about something spoilery getting ruined. This is why we can't have nice things. Then we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back with Star Wars.
Oh, I know where this is.
Does that work for you?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So there are two things.
Is it Tarantino?
Spoilery. That's the big one.
Yeah.
The first one is, and this was just kind of cute / aggravating.
Right.
The Jennifer Lawrence red carpet interview. Did you see this?
She's
talking about Homeland. She's become a big fan of Homeland, except she's only seen the first two seasons because the third season's not out on DVD.
Yeah.
And the lead guy on the show is on the red carpet next to her giving another interview.
Uh-huh.
She freaks out and she's gushing. And the person interviewing her, who she just told I had only seen season two,
spoils
the fact that the dude gets killed in the third season.
What?
And Jennifer Lawrence has like a, I don't even know what to say to you right now. Like walks away from her kind of moment.
Wow. Oh my
and
God.
Then comes back. Yeah. And it was like angry, but laughing, but upset at the same time.
Right.
So that's kind of cute. Seek that out. If I can find the link, I'll post it.
Okay.
But let's talk about Quentin Tarantino.
Okay.
Let's talk about what was going to be his next project, The Hateful Eight.
Uh-huh.
Which he has now canned. Or shelved, at least.
Because the script got out.
Because the script got out. And he is furious that the script got out.
So how does the story go? Six friends he showed it to?
I don't even think it was six, was it?
It was.
Wasn't it three or four? And he's narrowed it down to who he thinks did it.
Have any of them come forward and went, yo, it was me?
No. He thinks that it was the agent of Bruce Dern or Michael Madsen that leaked it.
Wow.
That's who he's narrowed it down to. Because I don't think he wants to think that it was either of them that leaked it. He didn't give it to Christoph Waltz or Sam Jackson yet, so he knows it's not them. and he doesn't think... he did give it to Tim Roth, but I think he's already confirmed that Roth didn't leak it.
Right.
So he's got it narrowed down to what he believes is the agents of the other two.
Right.
It's fucking weak. I'm glad that he's done this. I'm glad that he's pulled it and he shelved it. I'm glad he's being vocal about it. I'm glad that he's calling for people to take responsibility for it and telling people to step up for doing it. And I'll tell you why. Because this shit has got to stop. The spoilers and the script leaks, it has got to stop. And I understand that not us in particular, but our genre of media is responsible for this nonsense. And we perpetuate this nonsense, but it has got to come to an end. I read an article.
I blame Harry Knowles.
Yeah, well, he's definitely one of the lead. I blame Latino Review, Harry Knowles. I blame all of them. I blame all of them.
Jabba the Blogger.
I read a quick article last week, or I saw a headline of an article last week. I didn't even bother to read it because I didn't want to entertain it. But it was, when the Star Wars Episode 7 script leaks, will you read it? And this is a conversation that people are having on the internet. This shit has got to stop. We're ruining it for ourselves.
Yep.
Right? And you know, I like Tarantino films.
Yeah.
I wanted Tarantino to return back to a Western, right? Because this is a, it was another Western, wasn't it?
I The Hateful Eight.
I think it was another one. I wanted to see him go to that genre. And he's just like, no, fuck you. Fuck all of you douchebags. So good for him.
Yep.
And this shit has got to stop. That's my PSA for this episode.
Thank you for your PSA.
With that, let us take our first break with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 319.
Man.
Huzzah to the Vitamix. No.
Inside the polar vortex.
Huzzah to the Vitamix.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out.
Hey, this is Robert Hedges from Welcome Back, Kotter.
This is Lauren Hoover Jacobs from Welcome Back, Kotter.
Hey, this is Ron Palillo from Welcome Back, Kotter, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Right on, y'all.
But those dreams have remained and they've turned around.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 319, Inside the Polar Vortex.
Go buy stuff at Suburban Vinyl, suburbanvinyl.com, to 10%. Ticket something code.
That's right. Lovely Suburban Vinyl in Waldwick, New Jersey.
I was trying to get it all out in my fake rage, but it just I just failed.
You know, if you do shop at suburbanvinyl.com,
there is a coupon code.
You could buy wonderful things with this coupon code.
It's true.
And that code is
Big Kev.
And that will get you
10% off your entire order.
That is correct.
It will also get you a free lollipop if you go to the store and ask for our friend Blink.
I don't think that that's correct.
They better load up on lollipops because I'm saying free lollipop.
Of course, in addition to the awesome shop in Waldwick, New Jersey, and the fantastic shop that they run online, on February 8th,
oh yeah,
Suburban Vinyl is hosting its next show at the store. It's called Heartstrings, and it's a Valentine's-themed show. And I don't have the list of artists.
You'll post the link,
though. I will post the link.
We going to go to that one?
Yes, we are going to go to that one. Ooh. Some artists include Tailored Curiosities, Tasha Zimich, A Little Stranger, Jason Chalker. Jason Chalker, friend and fan. Jason Chalker, Pimp2D2.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Is he going to be there?
I don't know. Task One is has a piece. Ian Zabrowski has a piece. Ian Zabrowski, is he the one that did... Is he the one that did the Walking Dead?
Is that true?
I'm not sure.
He said he was going to do a bunch of those characters on cards.
But definitely want to check this out. February 8th, 6 p.m. at Suburban Vinyl in Waldwick, New Jersey. Heartstrings. Art to make hearts all aflutter or mend the broken ones. All right, let's move forward with the show.
There you go.
Yes.
Star Wars.
Yeah.
What is that? For the listeners who don't know, can you tell the story?
It's a film. It came out in 1977.
Oh, damn it. I was going there.
Sea Scapegoat. It all started on a desert planet.
Not really. It started in space.
On a desert planet.
No. I mean, if we're talking about where it started.
Didn't it really start a long time ago?
In a galaxy far, far away.
It's a longer time ago, even.
On a desert planet.
So have they ever established whether or not that it's in this universe?
Excuse me one second. It did not start on a desert planet.
Well, since this
Episode one did not start on a desert planet.
It didn't start on Tatooine?
No.
With young Anakin?
It did? Really? It started there?
I don't recall. I don't remember where episode one started.
Oh my God.
Where did it start?
Disappointment Land.
Let's go.
Where did it start?
That's where it ended.
Where did it start?
Episode one?
Yes.
In space.
Did it start in space?
Yes.
Okay. But the story is the story of Anakin Skywalker.
Yes.
He was born on a desert planet.
That's true.
It started on a desert planet.
But
much like if you were to ask the question, how did this whole Lincoln thing, where did this Lincoln thing start? In a log cabin.
Gotcha.
See? Do you see where I'm going with this?
I see where you're going.
All right. Let's talk about the Star Wars related news. Right.
Okay. There is a ton of it.
Okay.
Let's start with the rumor going around right now, the one that's the most disturbing, I would say, is Dame Judi Dench. No, that's not. No. That's not the most disturbing. The most disturbing one is the reason the rumored reason why Stephen Arndt, who was the original screenwriter,
Michael Arndt,
screenwriter no more.
Is because
and the rumor is because the script he wrote had the children taking the main thrust of the story.
Okay.
So they were where Luke, Leia, and Han were kind of secondary characters.
Sure.
And the kids who are inheriting the film franchise were in the front.
Okay.
The creative differences was that J.J. Abrams and...
Kathleen Kennedy.
It wasn't Kathleen Kennedy. It was J.J. Abrams and I think Disney, in large respect,
right,
wanted the three of them out front, the kids secondary, for them to take over in the second film in episode 8.
Okay.
So episode 8 would be about more about the kids.
Okay.
And this would be like the last adventure of la la.
I don't hate either of those.
Oh, but you should, because other rumors include what's his name? Not Viggo Mortensen. I'm going completely the wrong direction there. Hugo Weaving,
uh-huh,
as an important Imperial commander.
Okay.
There's only one person that could be.
Who?
Thrawn.
Okay.
You put the three of them up front.
Right.
Thrawn is the bad guy. We know where this is going.
Sure.
It's the Thrawn trill. It's at least the Thrawn story.
Okay.
So my question is, are they going to try and condense the Thrawn trilogy into one movie?
Well,
that seems to be the direction things are headed.
I would think that rather than condense, I don't think that they're going to condense the Thrawn trilogy. I think what they're going to do is just borrow Thrawn.
Well, that may be. However, you add more into it, the rumor that Dame Judi Dench,
uh-huh,
is going to be playing Mon Mothma.
That's fine.
In it.
That's not wrong with that.
Well, she's an important part of the Thrawn storyline. This is all pointing towards the first movie being Thrawn.
Again, I don't necessarily have a problem with that.
Okay.
If they truly try to take the three books and condense it into a film, there's a problem with that. I think more likely what they'll do, through their little group of people,
right,
is they will take bits and pieces of the trilogy,
right,
and put together a bridging story,
right,
to further the franchise.
So here's the problem.
Okay.
The reason that they said that this was happening, and Lucas has protested, not that it matters what he says anymore, but he has protested. The reason they say they're doing this is because J.J. Abrams wants to give the fans one more adventure with Luke, Han, and Leia. Except the problem with that is they are way too old to do that story.
Well, first of all, let's say this is all rumor first, right?
It is.
Nothing is confirmed.
We know it's all rumor.
Well,
we
know it's confirmed because the Latino review...
Right. Well, but that being said, you know, it's, I agree. You can't give them a big story. So my concern is, if that is the way that they go, I could potentially see Luke.
Maybe.
Luke. But I don't see Han and Leia.
No.
That being said, Luke could easily lead the charge, and Han and Leia's entire role in the movie is bringing about the children. The children are already going to be born. They have to be.
They have to be.
Right? They have to be. But
let's assume 10 years between movies.
Right.
They have to be. They have to be at least little kids.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
Six, 7 years old.
I did see a recent picture of Mark Hamill online. He looks decent. Lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
He looked like he...
I didn't see that picture.
He looked like he had been working out a little bit, maybe.
I bet he has.
He looked a little healthy.
I bet he has.
I'm not saying he was in tip-top shape, but he didn't look like...
Dumpy Mark Hamill, whose career is pretty much going from convention to convention.
He didn't... Look.
And charging $100 a pop for an autograph.
Mark Hamill has always looked okay, but he started to look more like a voice actor. And less like a film actor.
Dude.
Let's just say that.
He looked more like Richard Dreyfuss than he looked like Luke Skywalker.
Wow.
And I mean Richard Dreyfuss of today.
All right.
Not Richard Dreyfuss of the 80s.
Again, in the photo 70s. That I saw recently, he looked pretty good.
Okay.
So I could see him leading the charge in some sort of action capacity. So we'll leave it at that.
Okay.
The other thing is, this is all rumor.
Yeah.
God only knows what the hell. We'll never actually
know
any
until
of this
they
is
say
true.
Hugo Weaving is Thrawn. Oh, correct. And the other rumor, and the other rumor, which doesn't really necessitate or doesn't really justify anything, is it really looks like that kid from Breaking Bad
and Friday Night Lights.
Yes,
the orange-headed angry kid.
Uh-huh,
it looks. It definitely looks like he's getting some sort of part in these movies.
J.J. Abrams confirmed that they were talking to him for a role.
Let's.
And that they're not shooting IMAX.
All right.
Not shooting IMAX? Wow.
Well,
that's surprising.
Doesn't mean it won't come out on IMAX. They're just not using IMAX.
I'm surprised by
we'll
that.
Pay more to see the regular print on an IMAX screen.
I don't know. I can't. No.
That wasn't a hypothetical.
I know what you mean.
Me speaking on behalf of Scapegoat.
Yes, yeah, I understand what you're saying.
They go through a proprietary DMR process to remaster the frame.
What he just said. do you have anything else on the Star Wars front? I don't. That was the crux of it.
No, I mean, the scrim
is now confirmed. It's finished.
And now the casting rumors are just going to start exploding.
Right. Although I suspect that I don't think we're going to have to wait to San Diego to get confirmed casting. I think we'll know before then.
I totally agree. But I also want to say this. I agree. If that rumor turns out to be true, that's why Arndt was fired.
Uh-huh.
I totally agree. I am on Arndt's camp with that. I'm totally on Arndt's camp with that. It should have. They're too old to do that story, in my opinion. They should have just said, all right, some stuff happened. We're here now. Let's do the story. By the way, one other thing. Episode 7 takes place 20
after Jedi.
Years after Jedi.
Okay.
20 years after Jedi. It's been
35 years.
Yeah, it's 30 years. 83, right?
I thought it was 81.
No, 83 was Jedi.
Wasn't it 77, 78, and 81?
No, sir. It was 77, 80, and 83.
Okay. I thought it was 81.
No.
Okay. No. So 83. Either way, 93, 2003, 2013. So it's been 31 years. By the time it comes out, it'll be 32, 33 years.
They're going to trim 30 years off of...
They're going to trim 30 years into 20 years.
Yeah.
That's not that hard.
No.
That's not
of course not.
We should say, I want to...
Because aging in the Star Wars universe just sucks. I mean, it was only 20 years between episode 3 and episode 4, and look what happened to poor Ben Kenobi!
Listen.
It's just pissing me off.
Space and gravity does a bitch on the body. That's all I'm saying.
Look, I'm totally behind the whole two sons will really age you thing.
That's it.
They are not living on Tatooine now, so...
No.
I'm just...
Y'all know.
I'm managing.
They're not living on the Falcon.
I'm managing
expectations.
That's
fine. I think it's too early to manage your expectations. To be quite honest with you,
I think it's
too early to manage your expectations because I think anything that we talk about at this point in time is borderline ridiculous. I know that we have to talk about it. I know that we want to talk about it, but it's borderline ridiculous at this point to talk about it.
What else do we want to talk about?
Actually, I want to say real quick that we do have an interview.
Yes.
Tonight that we're going to play soon because we're running long on time already.
We are.
We have an interview that you did with Robert Tonner.
Yes. Scapegoat is actually in there for a piece as well.
Fantastico.
There you go.
When you were at the Tonner facility.
Tonner World Headquarters.
That's right.
Sir.
Tonner World Headquarters. So we will play that. But before we do that, I think we want to do some product. Or do we want to maybe save product for next week?
Actually, I just want to blow through what came out this week in comics.
Okay, and then why don't we save some product for next week?
We can. We can just mention that it came out. I mean, we don't...
Well, I want to spend a little bit of time on that. I don't want to gloss over that.
Good idea. Yeah, let's do that. So we'll hold them both off till next
week. Yeah, let's hold them off.
Batman 27, Snyder and Capullo continue their absolutely amazing run on Batman.
Okay.
Batman and Two-Face 27, formerly known as Batman and Robin, came out. That's with Peter J. Tomasi and Patrick Gleason doing the honors. Batman Beyond Universe. It's the best Batman book you're not reading. Issue number 6 came out. Captain America number 15. I'm still reading it. Remender and Carlos Pacheco doing the art.
Oh, I like Carlos Pacheco.
Yes, me too. So that's very exciting. I'm still reading this book. However, it is now official. Daredevil number 1.
Yeah.
The one that's coming out where they're leaving Mark Waid and Chris Samnee on the book.
Right.
I'm out. They're moving the character to San Francisco. I'm done.
Yeah. We talked about that last week, I think.
I'm done. Did we talk about that they were moving the character?
Yes.
Oh, I thought I had.
Yeah, we made a whole bunch of Hell's Kitchen jokes, remember?
Oh, yes, we did. I'm sorry, I'm still outraged by it. Red Hood and the Outlaws, 27.
Yeah.
Still a great book if you're not reading it. And one trade that I picked up this week to check out, BPRD, Hell on Earth, A Cold Day in Hell. This is volume 7 of BPRD, Hell on Earth. So definitely check that out as well. Star Wars Insider and Star Wars, I think it's still the Clone Wars magazine. Yes, but it's changing to Star Wars magazine.
Oh my God, Star Wars, the Clone Wars. That was really big news and we missed it. We'll talk about it next week.
Oh, the fact that it's premiering somewhere?
In Germany? The episodes that we didn't get to see will be premiering in Germany.
Right.
And then we'll get them at some point down the road.
We'll get them on DVD, I think.
I think. Yeah. We'll talk about that next week, though, because I'll get more of the details for it. One thing I want to throw out there comic book-wise, nothing new, but I have recently come into pretty much the entire Mike Grell run of Green Arrow.
Oh, you came into it, did
The stuff from the, you know, 80s, why not?
Yeah.
And came into it. I've begun rereading those issues.
Uh-huh.
Fantastic. Well, yeah, because the trade came out, Hunter's Moon.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Of the first 7 issues or 6 issues,
right,
of that Mike Grell run. So, I'm on like issue 3 or 4.
Got it.
And I'm revisiting the because I, you know what got me into this was I got into a debate with somebody online who thought that Arrow was terrible, the show.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, you're the only person I know that's ever said this. I have to know why. It's okay that you feel that way, but I have to know why. And he's like, because that's not Arrow. And Arrow's like kind of campy and like Robin Hood. And I'm like, oh my God, no. Yeah. I'm like, what Green Arrow are you familiar with? And he's
the one
like,
in the 60s.
He's like, that's what he was, like 60s and Speedy and like Robin Hood. And I'm like, oh God, no.
Really?
Not
really?
That there's anything wrong with that Green Arrow.
I don't recall any character. Any character in the Robin Hood mythos shooting up heroin in the story. None.
I think it was more of a, he looked kind of like Robin Hood. But I was like, oh God, no. Mike Grell. He's like, Longbow Hunters. What's Longbow Hunters? And I was like, oh,
you're
no.
Done.
Yeah. You're like, I can't talk to you anymore.
Even I know what Longbow Hunters is,
but you need to read this. And it sparked my interest in rereading that. So I grabbed that first trade and so there I am.
More Arrow. We need to find their marketing department.
Why?
Hunt them down.
I know. It's terrible.
I saw 2 new ads.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It is a different angle of the 2 guys being shirtless. But wait, there's more.
It's... Jesus.
They've added a third shirtless character to the marketing campaign.
Is it a girl?
No, it's not. No? I wish.
Who's this? Is this not ML?
That's Deathstroke. That's Manu...
whatever his name is. The guy from Spartacus.
This is awesome. Every ad is just a topless dude.
Their marketing department should be castrated.
But not only that ad that
they
just found
have a lot of women
in
followers.
A DC comic.
I know. And their head should
where
be placed
no one
on,
will ever see it.
Their head should be placed on pikes outside
that
of
ad.
Outside of Warner Brothers Studios. They're doing themselves a terrible disservice with that marketing campaign.
Well, look, let's not get lost in it. There's a very exciting / informative interview with Robert Tonner that I did, a little help from Scapegoat.
Right.
And I am very excited to have you hear it. Tonner doll, Tonner character figures, whatever you want to call them, the Tonner Company. Absolutely fantastic stuff. We're very excited to talk about some of the stuff they're going to be doing, some of the stuff that they've done. And we're very supportive.
All right. Hey, guys. What's up? It's Kev, and Scapegoat and I are here in Kingston, New York at the home of the Tonner Doll Company. And we are fortunate enough, as always, to get a few minutes with the man himself, Robert Tonner. How are you, Robert?
I'm great. How are you?
Very good. So first thing right off the bat that I want to talk about is if you've never been to Kingston, New York, great little town. And we actually met up over at the doll store, the Tonner Doll Store. And that is a great story all in itself. You have a building that was how old?
It's about 100 years old. And that building was, they had turned it into a print shop. It ended up a print shop. And then it was abandoned, I don't know, probably 20 years ago. So I make a joke, but it's the truth. I actually bought a ton of bricks, you know, and I, in retrospect, it would have been cheaper and probably easier to tear the whole thing down and just start over. But, you know, I wanted to save the building. So we did. We put a lot of money and effort into it and cleaned it out and new systems and everything from top to bottom. So the only thing that's original to the building is the shape and the bricks, you know, and the bricks are only there because we painted them. The paint is holding the bricks up, but it's, you know, it's a great looking store.
It's actually a beautiful looking store. And of course, you can check out some of the images that I shot of the store right over at the website, Big Kev's Geek Stuff. We'll have a gallery up of our visit to Tonner, and you can check them out over there. And then, of course, we got inside the store. It's beautiful. Lots of the Tonner collection on display there. And also the fascinating Doll Hospital, which we'll get into in a little bit. But what we want to talk about, of course, is one of the reasons that we came up here to Kingston is we had to see the Avatar dolls, the long-awaited Tonner Avatar dolls. Give us a little feel, Robert, of the process and how we got to this point.
I don't think you have that much time, but I'll
have all the time in the world.
I'll do the short version.
Bullet points.
Yeah, right. I loved the movie, and I was dying to do these figures, and so, you know, first, there was the whole process getting the license, and that actually wasn't so bad because, you know, I told them I wanted to do a very high-end sort of, you know, very unique sort of version of this. And so we worked with the 20th Century Fox and James Cameron, and they have to sign off on everything. So, yeah, it took a while. We got the license, and then it started. Then I have to sculpt two complete figures. And usually, you know, in making dolls and characters, you usually use some part over of you know, you have a library of parts, but with these, there were nothing like these parts. And I also wanted to make them, you know, I wanted to make them taller than our normal dolls. The avatars were so big in the movie that I wanted to kind of, you know, kind of express that to these bigger characters. So I figured something like a 20 to 25 inch avatar. So I started sculpting these, and that went pretty quickly. There were, of course, you know, revisions and stuff like that through the studio. But it was when we got to production that it really, really started to slow down. we worked for months getting the correct formula for the skin tone. They're all made in resin, and they're all ball jointed and all that kind of stuff. But we just had a hard time in the resin getting the color. So we eventually got it. But these things are not solid blue or whatever. They're you know, they have the very subtle stripes and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's fascinating, the coloring. I think the last time that we actually saw prototypes, one of the comments that we had made to you was that we thought the color was not quite there, and it is definitely there now.
Yeah, it was. I think that you're probably talking about the first original resin samples, which were kind of a blue-gray skin tone. Yeah, which kind of matched some of the reference that we got, but it's the way licensing works is that once you do it, then you send it in and they say, oh no, but you know, then they give you the color, you know, that's just the way it works. But we finally got the color right. And then it was like getting the, finding a way to get the stripes and the modeling on the figures, through paint. And, that took probably 6 to 8 months to get that process right.
So this process with these figures, I mean, we were trying to go back through our notes and through the coverage that we've done for Tonner over the last couple of years and figure out exactly where we first heard this to where we are now. What was the length of that process?
3 years. And it's, you know, this is probably the longest process, I mean, the longest it's ever taken to get something out like this. So, yeah, it was probably 3 years.
Wow. I can't imagine working on anything like that for 3 years. I mean, that's just amazing.
Well, I'll never do it again.
but with all due respect, I think that you see every minute of those 3 years and every bit of the work that went into it, the detailing in the hair and the costumes and the paint and all those other little details that we constantly talk about the Tonner Company doing. Every bit of that is in there. So I think, I mean, if it took 3 years to get those results, I think they were well worth it.
Well, thank you. I'm pretty proud of them. Once, you know, now that they're done, I'm pretty happy with them. Thank God they're done. That's all I can say. Yeah.
And they're limited edition. I think there's 150 of each character.
Yes. Each character, 150.
Right. So we were very excited and happy to be able to get to see those, and they are amazing, amazing pieces. Scapegoat?
One of the things we noticed when we were there is that they have different, like, a number of digits on their hands or something that we just completely forgot about.
We've seen the film. We've never noticed before that he had five fingers and she had four. Never noticed that before. So it took 3 years of process for you to make a doll to teach us something about the movie that we missed all together backwards. So
yeah, I was definitely impressed. We had to look it up just to make sure.
I don't want to say who amongst the two of us may have thought a mistake had been made, but it wasn't me. Let's move on from that. So that took 3 years to get done. Something that's going to have a little bit shorter of a turnaround, and something that's very exciting for our audience, of course, is the Big Bang Theory. So can you tell us where this came from and what we're going to be seeing?
Well, I've been a fan for years of this, and Warner Brothers has the, you know, they have the TV rights and all that to this. So for years, we've talked about it. They've had it available for licensing, and we've talked about it. And I just thought it's really hard. There are, you know, 4 to 6 to 8 characters, you know, that you could do, and who would you focus on and all this. But when it started being on 24/7, I mean, any time, day or night, you can see The Big Bang Theory. And I put it on making dinner or whatever. I it's on all the time. And I could see the episodes 100 times over. I just thought maybe it's time to do this. And I think, you know, we've announced it in a couple of places, and I think collectors are really, like, excited to see this stuff. So the first two characters that we're going to start with are Sheldon and Amy Farrah Fowler. And I think the sculpts are dead on, and I'm really, really excited about that. We're going to introduce those a little bit later in the year, but we should get them out. Then we'll probably look at Leonard and Penny will be next, but of course we'll do all four guys. So very excited about this.
We will be definitely excited to see what happens with that license as we move forward. And speaking of exciting licenses, Jupiter Ascending, another could be very big science fiction movie, even science fiction trilogy, if the rumors are to be believed. And Tonner Doll going to be doing Tonner character figures, going to be doing figures from Jupiter Ascending. So is this another Warner Brothers thing?
It is, and I love working with them. They understand what we do. And, you know, they're very open to new ideas and stuff like that. Some of the fun things we've done with Oz and stuff like this. They're just great to work with. But Jupiter Ascending looks very good to me. And I'm a science fiction fan. I love the science fiction. I love the trilogy things and the Twilights and all this kind of stuff. But this one looks different and it looks really good. First, you have great stars. Channing Tatum is the male.
Lead.
Lead, yes. Thank you. And what I've seen so far, you know, and the costumes are just magnificent, and it's supposed to be some sort of a fairy tale sci-fi sort of mix. And I hope I don't do the movie a disservice by saying that, but it just sounds really good to me. So I'm very excited about this. And
of course, Mila Kunis as well.
Yes, if I didn't mention her, yes, she's and the sculpt. I love the sculpt for her. She looks really, I think it looks very much like her, and it's a beautiful, beautiful sculpt, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, she definitely has a very interesting look, so to capture that that look would be very important. And if you're very pleased with it, I imagine that we'll all be very pleased with it as well. What's the look there? Like, where are we looking to do multiple figures of her with different outfits on? Are we looking to do a more expansive breadth of characters?
Well, the good thing, I mean, we had the license to do Hunger Games. And one of the reasons why that was not, why we kind of decided it was time to step away from that, is that really we weren't allowed to do whatever. I mean, they had some great visuals, and there were some great clothes for the Katniss character, but we weren't allowed to do them. And this one, we made sure that some of these great outfits and stuff that we're able to do, some of the great costumes, and I've seen them. They're unbelievable. They're just magnificent. You know, they're fashion but sci-fi at the same time. It's really great. So we made sure that we were able to do that. So for these characters, we will be doing multiples, you know, of her dressed in some of her different outfits, and him too. But I haven't seen as much stuff that he's wearing.
So while we're on tour here at the Tonner facility, now we should say this, we're not at the Tonner store right now. We're actually at the Tonner World Headquarters. And this used to be a bank in Kingston, correct? We went to the vault downstairs and hung up our coats. And we came in and we eventually made our way. This is something I can only share this way with you. If you've not been in the sculpting space of Robert Tonner, if you've ever been in the sculpting space of Robert Tonner, you would see some amazing things. What you'd see is mostly storage and a little like a 2x2 foot working area that all of these dolls that he creates are being sculpted in. And I happened to see one there, Robert, that looked a little different than some of the other stuff that you do. Kind of looked a little bit like Snoopy.
Yes, it was Snoopy. Yes, we are doing Snoopy. I'm doing this for, it's a charity project from the Snoopy people. We're gonna do a vinyl version of Snoopy and send them out to designers and have them dress him. And it'll be I believe there's a charity aspect to this, and there's also a get Snoopy out there in a high fashion way again. They did it, I believe, in the 80s, and it was a big thing. They dressed plush Snoopies.
So is this something we're going to see, like, you put out some Snoopy, or is this specifically something you're doing that other people will be able to design for Snoopy?
The way it was set up, I'm doing this as a project that I really want to do, and because I was asked to do this for this, they're going to do a coffee table book, and Snoopy's going to be dressed by all the designers, so it should be fun. So we're in talks about us doing a version of, you know, some of the outfits on Snoopy to produce for, you know, as a collectible. So that's kind of exciting.
We happen to be also in the and I'm not sure what if the rooms have different names. I know that you have like a sculpting room. We were in a room with a lot of dolls, with a lot of fabric, and there was a giant wall full of stuff that it looks like is being produced by Tonner in 2014. And in little tiny pictures, I happen to notice some familiar DC characters. Now, we know that you have a bunch of DC stuff that you're doing, but these seemed a little bit different than that. These didn't seem really New 52-ish to me. They seemed perhaps a little older. Can you talk about that?
Those are more old 66. You know, it's, we're doing... And I was kind of anxious to get these because, you know, I grew up on DC, and I remember these very well. I remember the Adam West and Catwoman, Julie Newmar. Yes, yes.
One of the Catwoman, sir. One. Eartha Kitt, also a Catwoman. And do you know the third?
Lee Merriweather was.
Oh, that's correct. Lee Merriweather. Very good.
All right. Good.
Never let it be said that Robert Tonner does not know his geek culture.
No, I think, yeah, I was one of the first generation of geeks, but I'm excited about this. So we're considering, you know, Burt Ward and all that. And, you know, depends on how this goes.
We were actually discussing before we started the interview that we were discussing how the whole Batman 66 TV show retro thing is kind of happening again. Is that part of the impetus to this? Did you kind of say, I really want to be involved in that because it was important to me when I was younger and so on?
No. No, you know what? It was, we loved doing DC, and it was just something different. You know, it was just something a little bit different, and it was different characters on different bodies. So we were able to, you know, use some of the molds, I mean, some of the tooling that we already had, but I was kind of excited just to do it, you know, something that's a little bit different. I hear it's popular. I hear that whole thing is popular, and I think that's great. I hope these are too.
Again, that kind of hit me out of the blue, and I'm very excited to see what you're going to do with that particular set of characters. The one thing that I told you, I'm putting this in the interview, is if you do end up doing the Cesar Romero Joker, gotta put the mustache on his face and then just cover it over with the white.
I'm going to take Julie Newmar, and I'm going to put a blonde wig on her, and I'm going to make My Living Doll. Do you remember that one?
I don't remember that one.
You got to look that one up. That was before. That was the early 60s, and she played a robot.
I don't. I'm not familiar with that one at all. But right now, Scapegoat is feverishly typing into his computer to find out what that was. Now let's take another step into retro, and you're doing something with Cindy, which was kind of the UK Barbie. So can you give us a little history and where you come into play on this?
Oh, can I give you history? To me, it's kind of a fascinating thing about how Cindy developed. It started, Barbie, of course, Mattel's Barbie, in 1959. Early 60s, Ideal had tried a couple of dolls that kind of looked like Barbie or whatever. But, you know, there was such an outcry from parents, not from the kids, but from parents about how sophisticated Barbie is that there shouldn't, you know. So Ideal decided to come up with their version of a fashion doll, and it was Tammy. And Tammy was this very all-American, young teen sort of thing. And she was very unthreatening, you know, wore red, white, and blue a lot and all this kind of stuff. Well,
where Barbie was very threatening.
Yes, Barbie, I don't get it. I never did get that. But anyway, so the parents loved this, but the kids not so much. You know, Tammy. So Tammy went away after a few years. But where the interesting part is that Pedigree in England licensed the sculpt from Ideal. So what they basically did is they took a Tammy doll, made a mold on it, and it shrunk a little bit, so it's a little bit smaller than Tammy. But that's how they made Cindy. So they called her Cindy. You know, some of the graphics are the same. Some of the clothes were the same. Cindy did better in Europe than Barbie did. And so Cindy was huge in Europe. But as Cindy developed over the years, she got to look, you know, she got a little taller, she got a little thinner, she got a little blonder, and eventually they turned her into Barbie. And I think Hasbro was sued when they tried to bring Cindy in the United States because she looked too much like Barbie. So, I mean, that's a long, you know, all those toy wars.
And now the Tonner Doll Company is bringing her back?
Yes, but we're going back to her roots. We're going back to when she was sweet and innocent before she got corrupted by...
She was just a Tammy clone.
Yes, exactly. But she has a whole history in Great Britain that's a very solid kind of history, and it's, it's been great to work with them. And again, this is a project that it's been going on forever, I think the product should be really good. So that should be out this year.
Every year, Robert, we like to give you a suggestion of something that you may want to look at. That way we have it on the record that if, you know, it ever succeeds, we were the people that said that. This year, very popular program on TV. It's in its third series now, which is just starting in the U.S. And we think there's definitely up to four characters that could be done, two of which I think would be phenomenally successful for you, and that's the BBC's Sherlock series.
Okay.
have you seen it?
Yes, I have. I've seen one or two episodes of it. I try to watch TV, but I don't have a lot of time to do it. But that would be an interesting one. It really
was. I mean, we thought he definitely has the iconic outfit, the coat and the scarf is very iconic at this point. They now make, you know, there's a lot of internet buzz about it. And he puts on that Deer Stalker cap whenever he speaks to the public in the series. It's kind of like a funny thing. And you have Benedict Cumberbatch, who's an extraordinarily popular actor right now. And you have Martin Freeman, who plays Watson, who's an extraordinary popular guy right now with the Hobbit movies and so on and so forth. So, you know, we just thought this might be something you want to explore.
All right, I'll look into it. But we haven't had very good luck with the BBC or whatever, so we'll see how that goes.
I only heard about some stuff like that today, but I'm just saying this might be a thing. I don't know. I'm just saying. And now that we've made our pitch, there is one more thing we wanted to talk about, which was Lady Action. Now, what's going on with Lady Action?
Yeah, the guys who own that license, we
Captain Action, right? Is
Captain
it Action. Right?
Yeah, and I don't know if you remember, this was a character that I think maybe came from Mego. I really ought to get the history straight here. But anyway, this character was sold with, you could buy a Superman outfit for this or a Spider-Man outfit for this Captain Action character. So you could turn him into anything. Well, they've developed him in so he has more of a personality of his own. But there's also a female version, Lady Action. So that's where we came in. I thought it would be a really cool thing if we could do Lady Action. We do have superhero costumes from other companies like DC that, strangely enough, Lady Action could wear if you wanted to do that sort of thing. But she's got a really cool outfit, so I think that's going to be a fun one. It's going to be on our kind of standard sort of superhero, superheroine body.
Well, Robert, as always, you're very gracious with your time, and we want to thank you very much for giving us a little insight into what's coming up with Tonner. This is kind of like our Toy Fair coverage, except we had the whole tour, which was really great. And we want to thank you again, and you've been gracious host, and we're really looking forward to continuing to see wonderful products coming from the company.
Well, thank you, and it was good to see you again, and don't be a stranger.
There you go.
There you go.
Very exciting, very informative. We talked about a lot of stuff, which is really great. Some exciting announcements there, like the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
awesome. I'm down with that.
We're not really.
And next year, you'll be able to see.
Are we not allowed to say what you just said?
We cannot say some of. No.
Do I have to beep that out?
We can't say other things.
Oh, okay.
We can't say things that we can't say.
All right, fair enough.
But what we can say is that it was a great time up there at Tonner. They really are doing some fantastic stuff. We know this is not everybody's cup of tea. But, you know, there are some exciting things coming out of the company. You should definitely check out the website and definitely check out the stuff that they are doing. Really, really tremendous.
And regarding Avatar, we'll have a couple more Avatar-related things in next week's news segment.
Yes, but those figures were really, really amazing.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
For what they are, they're really amazing pieces.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, you should definitely check that out. And we had a contest winner you wanted to announce before.
We did.
I hear the music, so we must be ending.
We're going to hold off on announcing the new contest till next week's episode.
Okay.
But we will announce the winner of the Jim Ford Pirate Baby Deadbeat contest that he donated to the show. It goes out to
Scapegoat. Yay, no. Congratulations, Scapegoat.
It's BlueEyes87X on Twitter. BlueEyes87X, congratulations, you are the winner.
Unless you're a cam girl, in which case.
No, in which case, if you are a cam girl, we want to know more about you.
I don't believe Scapegoat. She's a cam girl. So send me your shipping information.
I like
Blue Eyes. I will get that to the prize
giver.
Is she one of
my followers on Twitter?
Probably not.
Oh,
because you don't actually.
Oh, no.
You will hear some tweets, and by hear I mean see, unless you turn on your notifications, which you should.
That right.
Coming soon at you. You announced your first event, did you not?
I did.
It was the Oscars, right?
My Twitter debut.
When is the Oscars?
It's actually the first Sunday in February, or is that the Super Bowl?
The Super Bowl is the first Sunday in February.
I think it's first Sunday in March.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
I think that's what it is.
Okay. Fantastico.
I will be live tweeting during the Oscars.
March 2nd.
Yes. 2nd. There you go. Couldn't be earlier unless it was the 1st. So, I will be doing that, and then I will be doing regular tweeting.
Lovely.
Thereafter. This comes from the fact that I live Facebooked Sound of Music when it was on NBC and some other things that I've like the recent playoff game where my team won. Seahawks! Yeah, Seahawks. Super Bowl champion Seahawks.
Go, my favorite sports team. Go.
Yes.
Beat the opponent soundly.
They are
in the skirmish.
They are my football team. I like to pick teams to follow that I don't really have to worry about this ever happening to.
Right.
The fact that they're in the Super Bowl is freaking amazing.
There you go.
Because I'm like, it's them and the Saints. Those are my two teams. And the fact that they've both been in the Super Bowl in the last decade is hysterical to me.
I'm going stereotypical geek on this one. I could give two shits about football.
But the Seahawks have great uniforms.
Do you care about Bruno Mars performing?
Not even a little bit.
Oh,
how could you not?
There are commercials, sir.
The commercials are always good.
Although
they've gotten worse in years past.
Usually at my Super Bowl party, we actually watch the commercials and don't pay attention to the game, but not this year.
And be honest with you, more and more the commercials are online the day before.
Have you seen the teases for the Arnold Schwarzenegger ping pong, whatever this is going to turn out to be, commercial?
Yes.
No.
They are really, really
and Don
bizarrely
Cheadle,
uncomfortable.
He's got Don Cheadle with a Bud Light also.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, well, we'll find out what that's all about. Yeah, so I will be Twitter debuting. And what's my Twitter again?
BK Geek Stuff.
BK Geek Stuff. That's my Twitter. So start following now, folks.
Sure.
And tell a friend. Tell a friend to follow.
There you go. Anything
else? How many followers do you have?
2,100.
My goal is to beat you.
Okay.
How many do I have now?
Not that many.
BK Geek Stuff doesn't have that many?
Not 2,100.
How many do they have?
I don't know.
1,000?
Not even close.
Really?
No. A couple hundred probably.
We're going to change that.
So. All right.
Just saying.
Okay. That's fine. Scapegoat, do you have anything else?
I got nothing.
I don't have anything else either. So, with that.
Yes, with that, OG, we will bring this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to a close. Episode 319, Inside the Polar Vortex, by saying, good night, Russell Johnson, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.